Feed Your Brain, the Drex Radio Show, weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
You went on this show.
You kind of have to keep up with it. It's very intelligent.
It sounds like a scam.
They are not part of the legitimate business world.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And if you're following the news, well, then I'm sure you've heard about the O.J. Simpson discovery of that knife at Rockingham that, a retired police officer has had since 1998 today. And it harkens us all the way back to 1995 and the murders and the sociopath that O.J. was. And, oh, here he is talking about he thinks he knows who did it.
I tell everybody Faye Rusnick had to be involved. And there's one guy, because of what a therapist said, there's one guy I think could have been directly involved. But, you know, I got to wait for that.
And I welcome to the show Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, who is a research psychologist. And I have to say, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, I thank you, first of all, for coming on the show. When I think about psychopaths, boy, does this ring a bell today.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting about this is that psychopaths, would you believe this, actually make the best presidents. So there's something about being a psychopath that could be good as well. We're talking about psychopaths, 1% of the population, who do have criminal behavior. Then there's the other percent that are self-centered, narcissistic, and they can be very charming and dynamic. And then we have someone like Donald Trump, who's also someone who fits into that character trait.
Oh, okay. Or someone like Vladimir Putin?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, after last night's debate, which was, the circus of the century when it comes to presidential debates, what are you thinking about Donald Trump, and what does this say about his personality and America's mental health?
Well, you know, let's look at what really happened. When you're looking at Donald Trump at that debate, he was different. He was more low-keyed. He was not argumentative. Actually, what did happen was he was waiting to see if someone else would be compatible with him. And that's when he decided to talk about the hands that was so controversial, to the fact that when Rubio said, "You have small hands," he made a comment that he's doing fine in other areas as well. And then he was given this critique that he is using the inappropriate language and talking about the wrong things, but actually he didn't start it. So if you watch very closely, you'll see that this time around, Donald did not continue to add controversy, but he was given opportunities that were set up to him.
Okay, Frieda, let me play a clip from last night's debate.
Sure.
This is Donald Trump, and he keeps calling Marco Rubio little guy.
This little guy has lied so much about my record.
There we go. The person
he has lied so much about my record.
I have a policy question for you,
yes,
sir.
Let's see if he answers it.
You're.
I will. Don't worry about it, Marco. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, little Marco. I will.
All right. Well, let's hear big Don. Donald.
Don't worry about it.
All
little,
right. Wait.
Don't worry about it, little Marco.
Gentlemen.
Let's hear
it. Gentlemen.
You ought to chill up.
Gentlemen, you gotta do better than this.
Chris.
This guy has as you can see in his answer, it's always the same thing.
You defrauded the people.
He's challenged on a point.
Little Marco.
He's defrauded people out of things, and not just by the way. On the issue of Trump.
All right. Well, Dr. Frieda, as I said, it was a circus. And I don't know. What are your thoughts just listening to that?
What are we really doing? Are we really looking to elect the president of the United States? I have never seen any kind of debate that came close to this. When we had candidates before, they were trying at least to be appropriate to one another. We live in a different time. That's true. And we need a different type of candidate. That's true. And that's why Donald is doing so well. But the debates themselves, obviously they're amateurish. Obviously it's not giving us the answers we need to elect the right candidate.
Wow. And I don't know what you think of the other, candidates. Where do you weigh in? I mean, you know, if we can swing to the other side of the fence and look at Hillary, and, you know, people are saying, well, the email thing, you can't trust her. And that's her big issue.
That's so true. But as we keep investigating, we're finding out that at least there weren't any hackers. At least when they're looking at the aides and the emails, they are seeing that it's nothing really as bad as they thought it was going to be. So maybe that will be in her favor as far as being the candidate for the presidency.
Okay, well, let's talk about sociopaths in general. I mean, you know, a lot of people are doing online dating, a lot of that going on tonight here in the Bay and all over the world, as I mentioned. You know, so some signs that someone's a psychopath. What do you say?
Well, obviously, when someone is giving you the feeling that it's all about them, when they have more than one, two, three pictures of themselves, when they talk about themselves and there's no place for you to get in, that person is someone who's too absorbed, who's a sociopath, who is really not capable often of being aware of somebody, but they want you to be very much aware of them. I would keep away from those people.
Right. And so, you know, there's somebody that needs constant stimulus. They might have trouble finishing projects. I think it's very confusing to people, the whole word sociopath or psychopath, somewhere between the two.
I'm sorry. That's true. And, you know, when we're talking about narcissistic behavior, we're talking about somebody who's at the gym more than an hour, someone who's so fixated on what they're eating. And, you know, they're really into doing everything they can for themselves to the point that there's no room for anything or anybody else.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, yes, are they way too needy with time and those sort of these sort of things and face-to-face social action cause the double depression risk and stuff like that. We're talking with and we're having a conversation with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, who is the author of What Price Power, an in-depth study of professional women in a relationship. And we'll be right back on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Talk radio to feed your brain. The Drex Radio Show, weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
And away we go. And we are live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum is my guest, and she is a psychologist and psychoanalyst and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of professional women in a relationship, all linked at KGOradio.com. Now, Dr. Frieda, I want to ask you, let's talk about professional women in relationships. So what do you speak to? Because there are so many professional women listening right now. What is some advice for women who are listening who are professionals and they're in a relationship? And, you know, what are some things that you speak to?
Well, what I speak to is that when you have the opportunity to develop a sense of yourself outside of the relationship, it does help to have a better equal relationship with your partner because you're seen differently. So if you have a higher career status, you can get help you are listened to more, you make financial decisions, you're socially more involved with the people you want to be involved with. It's just across the board that my research, 700 women, by the way, I didn't take this too lightly, showed me that it shifts. Well, often divorce happens in a relationship when there's marriage and the woman will change to have a high-status career. But if that doesn't happen, then the marriage or relationship is better than ever because it shifts into a place where, you know, let's face it, men don't want to have the responsibility all the time. It's nice for their partner to be able to take over at times. And so we need both back and forth. We need to have this androgyny that each person needs to have the feminine and the masculine side of them developed. So you can have it all. You can be nurturers, You can be successful outside the home. And so I found that that was the best place to be in a relationship or individually. And it does help when a woman also is working outside the home.
It's very interesting because a lot of professional women who do very well and then succeed beyond their partner's, career success, some men have a problem with it. And other guys, and I'd be one of these, hip, hip, hooray, more power to you. Go. Yes. And what did you find in your study with these results?
Absolutely. The first is very right. Men are threatened by women often who make more than themselves. And other women feel the same way. And often these women who are very powerful and make a lot of money are disinclined to marry. They don't need someone to support them, but they have relationships on the side, and they are very contented. But there is a stigma, and people are uncomfortable with women who make more money than men.
Last night we just had a study that, and I don't have it in front of me, but, they were talking specifically about professional women who were sick and tired of asking why they're not having children. And it's because they chose not to have children, and they were quite annoyed by the constant questioning, whether it be from their family or their peers, where are the children?
We live in a different time. It used to be that if you wanted children, you couldn't have a career. And if you had a career, you didn't have children. Gloria Steinem said she was sorry she didn't have children, but she lived at a time when women just did not get married if they wanted to be women's libbers and they wanted to be feminist. Now women can do both. They can have careers, they can have children, or they can choose one or the other. It really doesn't matter what they're supposed to do. It's more what they want to do. Women have a voice more than ever, and we're changing the rules, and it's about time. It's not what fits for society. It's how society fits for you. And women need to represent themselves in such a way that the changes need to be continued with age as well, because, there has always been a double standard with men and age. A man who is older is somebody who can be very powerful, successful. A woman, as she gets older, often is someone who's over the hill. So there's still different standards. Even women who are very successful and have families are thought of as selfish, while men who have families and are successful are thought of as family men. So these things still do exist.
Well, thank you very much. It's great information. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, as I said, is a research psychologist and psychoanalyst, author of What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of Professional Women in a Relationship. I thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
And it's good advice, and we have all the information linked at kgoradio.com. Thank you, and have a good weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. It is 8:25 now on the Drex Radio Show. And, of course, one of the big stories that we were talking about earlier, before we started with Dr. Frieda, was the discovery of that knife. And, boy, oh, boy. And, yes, O.J. Simpson and Rockingham and the site. And this goes back to 1998. Turns out that it was an off-duty police officer. In 1998, when they were demolishing the house on Rockingham, which was O.J. Simpson's place, okay. When they were demolishing it, they found a knife. And an off-duty police officer, one of the construction workers, takes the knife over to this off-duty police officer who is guarding the street with a movie set guy. Am I right here? Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom joining me. And he handed the knife to the police officer, and the cop kept it.
Yeah, the police officer ended up keeping this knife. He's had it for a few years now, and finally he's coming forward with this knife, this new piece of what could very well be evidence.
It's just crazy. And so, it has to. I conjure up in my mind the image of, FX is now playing, People versus O.J. Simpson, and I've had this in my bedroom or in, this drawer since 1998. And turns out the cop, calls up the LAPD and says, hey, what is the case number? Because I want to have it engraved in this knife. And the LAPD says, dude, you got to get that knife over here. What the hell are you doing? That's not specifically, you know, off chart here. But it's just insane. And they said, look, either you're going to bring it over or we're going to get a search warrant and we're going to take it from you.
I can't even believe that a police officer would treat an item like this like it was a baseball card. It just seems totally bizarre.
Right. So the cop wanted to have it framed. Interesting word there. Yes. Framed. And it's just an insane story because, you know, it was found underneath the air conditioner. If you go back to 1995 in Cato Kaelin's testimony, he heard three bumps that night. And where did they find that knife? Right in that area where that window would have been. And it's been, well, in a drawer or in this dude's house since 1998. Now they're going to look for DNA evidence. And by the way, O.J. Simpson cannot be tried even if they find his DNA on it because
Double jeopardy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's over.
It's absolutely insane. And what's also a little bit nutty about this, Drex, is that they didn't search the area around that air conditioner a little more.
You would think so. I mean, I got to think back. They said that all of this is coming out today. Yes, we searched and we looked. Well, didn't you get metal detectors out there or something? I mean, it's not like it's 100 years ago, 1998. They had metal detectors.
And you would think with the intense scrutiny that this case was under, that every rock, every blade of grass would be ripped out.
Okay. Well, this is amazing. When I come back, we're going to play audio from an interview, O.J. Simpson's tell-all interview that aired, that streamed on the internet back in the day. And, boy, this will ring some bells in your head. That's coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Doesn't fit, you must acquit.
O.J. Simpson is the conversation coming up next in his own words.
Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Ass in the sand, not a worry in a
world of cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. All right on. Life is good. It'll be really good if you win a pair of tickets to see the Zac Brown Band. Right now is your opportunity if you are caller number 10 at 808-0810. 808-810 is the number. We're going to take the 10th caller for you and a guest to see the Zac Brown Band at the Shoreline Amphitheater on Friday, June 3rd. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. All right, so give us a call, 808-0810. We'll take the 10th caller to win. All right, so the discovery of the knife at, Rockingham has been announced today, and it's conjured up memories of the event that became known as the trial of the century, for sure, especially with the People versus O.J. Simpson, such a big deal on FX now. And who could forget the events that led up to it, from the infamous white Ford Bronco leading officers to that televised slow speed chase that everybody in America watched, to the phone conversation O.J. Simpson had with the homicide detective, Tom Lang.
I'm the only one that deserves.
No, you don't deserve
that.
I'm
gonna get hurt.
You do not deserve to get hurt. You do not deserve to get hurt. Don't do this.
All I did was love Nicole. All I did was love her.
And then what you have to know is that was recorded after the bodies of Simpson's, and I think you do know, most people do, his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman were found in the pathway of that Southern California apartment complex. Now the trial televised gavel to gavel, millions of people looking at it every day, and a peek inside the criminal proceedings and the evidence involving DNA.
O.J. Simpson in a knit cap from two blocks away is still O.J. Simpson. It's no disguise. It's no disguise. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Wow. It's like one of the most famous quotes of all time, in my lifetime anyway, Johnny Cochran, the late Johnny Cochran. And then, less than a day after beginning deliberations and after having one witness testimony read back, jurors read the verdicts.
Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
All right. Not guilty. All right. So then This is really interesting, and I have a lot of audio here with O.J. Simpson in his tell-all interview.
I can do an interview a day. Every major network, every major talk show host, their producers have contacted my lawyers over the years to get me to do a show. I mean, I would say this week, if you ask my lawyer, he probably got 15 or 20 requests for people to come on their show.
You got to wonder what O.J.'s thinking in the slammer tonight. Boy, oh boy. Somebody's going to be talking Monday, I would say, for sure. Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom joining me. And this tell-all interview, what is the story behind this?
So the tell-all interview was going to kind of coincide with this book release, the If I Did It, O.J. Simpson story. And what happened was Fox News did this interview, and they were going to air it on all their affiliates nationwide. And in 2006, it was mid-November, just before Thanksgiving. And a lot of the affiliates got pressure from their, I want to say listeners because we're on the radio, but viewers, to not air this. They, you know, didn't want to give OJ, thought it was inappropriate to give OJ this time on the air. So what happened is affiliates started backing out, one and then more, and then, you know, half a dozen. And so they all backed out. A couple days later, Fox said, hey, we're not going to make this available at all. The Fox News executives came out at the time and said, hey, this we're sorry that we did this. It's inappropriate. We're not going to air it, but it is on tape. We suspect that eventually it's going to leak out online, and that's why you have this audio tonight, because it did leak out online.
Yes, and so I do have the audio, and we're going to play a bunch of segments from it, and it's very interesting, and it takes you back in time, so hold on. And we will open up the phone lines. By the way, we have our winner for the Zac Brown Band. Thank you very much for calling, and we appreciate it. And as I said, if you want your tickets, you can go to LiveNation.com to see the Zac Brown Band on Friday, June 3rd. Okay. All right. So let's get started. And, you know, this is a mismatch of all over the place because I have so many cuts. But here we go with O.J. Simpson's tell-all interview. The host and O.J. both say they're not making any money on the interview.
Here's another question. Kate Delaney, for the attention, you're getting too much attention for doing this interview, which is shameful. This man should be in jail. People should not give him any kind of forum. Ms. Delaney, you're wrong. You're looking for a raise. Give the Goldens the raise. They deserve it. OJ, I'm telling you, I'm not making any money off of this myself. And no,
I'm not making any money off of this.
You said that. I had asked one of the guys to buy me a burger the other day. I'm so hurting right now.
It's really insane to hear all of this. And, you know, I have to tell you, you know, obviously this went down before there was a verdict, and it's just, well, I guess maybe after the verdict, since he was found not guilty, right? Okay, so he goes on to talk about Fred Goldman in the interview.
I don't even know how to respond. You know, you're listening to the ramblings of a moron, and, you know, he doesn't make anything clear in anything he says, and frankly, nor do I care to listen to it.
I mean, it's just insane. In the tell-all interview, O.J. Simpson talks about the type of actor he usually likes because it's all, again, this is all over the road, you know, so he's getting questions and he's just responding.
One thing I found that the great actors were the nicest people. It's the borderline stars that were kind of the assholes.
And O.J. Simpson talks about what's hurt him most out of that trial.
To me, it hurts me the most. The two things that hurts me the most, well, other than being considered a murderer and all that, is that to some degree, exposing this racial divide, which might be a good thing. I don't know.
Wow.
It's being considered a batterer when every girl I've ever dated stood by me during the trial, or every girl I've ever dated when Interpol in Europe and the FBI and everybody interviewed him and said, that's not OJ. And even Nicole's closest friends will tell you that after we split up and even while we were going through our divorce, every time she had a problem, her closest friend would tell you she would come to me. If she had problems with guys or how to handle guys, I was the guy she came to for advice. And yet I ended up through one incident on a New Year's night, which we'll talk about tomorrow, became the poster boy for abuse. And that hurts me.
Oh, please. I mean, for Christ's sake, he beat the hell out of her. Don't we remember we remember the call from Nicole Simpson to 911. He's at it again. You know who he is. You've been here before. Come on over. You know, he's beating me up. Remember the photos? I mean, it's just a horrific nightmare. 808-0810.
On KGO.
All right, so the big story of the day. Well, you know, Donald Trump and his penis size and Marco Rubio with little Marco and all of that silliness. But really, I think that today and tonight everybody's talking about O.J. Simpson and that knife that was, well, it was discovered in 1998, you know, when they were tearing down O.J. Simpson's house. Okay, and one of the construction workers walks over to a cop who's off duty. He was actually, he looked like he was on duty. He was actually guarding a movie set or something. And the cop kept it. And then in January, so the story goes today, that he called up the LAPD and asked for the case number because he wanted to have the knife engraved. And they were like, what the hell? You know, you need to turn over that knife. So now they have the evidence, and we'll see where it goes. Was it the knife? Well, it was found in the vicinity of where Kato Kaelin heard those three knocks. Raises a lot of suspicion. So we go back to the day with this tell-all interview that never did air, but it eventually did leak onto the internet. And, you know, I have segments from it. And O.J. Simpson in this tell-all interview, he says he thinks he knows who did it.
I tell everybody Faye Resnick had to be involved, and there's one guy, because of what a therapist said, there's one guy I think could have been directly involved, but, you know, I got to wait for that.
Wow. And then O.J. Simpson, because let's face it, I mean, do you remember back in the day, and I was certainly there, it was must-see TV we were all watching, and turns out O.J. Simpson says he likes watching celebrities on trial as well.
If it's got interesting issues, I do watch. And, of course, it's like everybody. It's like watching the Indy 500 and anticipating a crash, you know,
yeah.
When we have celebrities or Michael Vick or, you know, celebrities involved. I finally understood the attraction of my trial once my trial was over and I started watching some of the more celebrated cases on court TV.
And here he is talking about, of all things, remember Michael Vick's indictment on, with the dogs and abusing the dogs for what were they doing, Brian? They were...
Oh, it was a dog fighting
ring. It was a dog fighting ring, yeah. So here's O.J. Simpson talking about Michael Vick's indictment.
It's hard for me to believe that so many people seem to want him to be guilty. I felt that way with my trial. It just seemed I was watching the media. It was almost like they wanted me to be guilty. You know, from what I understand and what everybody says about Mike Vick, and I don't know Mike Vick, he's a terrific guy. You know, obviously, if he's guilty of this, well, he's going to be penalized by the legal system. But I have three dogs, so I was appalled. You know, I cannot fathom a guy could watch these dogs fight. I've never been to a dog fight. It doesn't look good. I do not believe that you should give this guy that they're giving an easier sentence if he testifies against Vic. Because I don't know how much you can trust the veracity of a guy who they tell him, we'll make the deal with you, and the deal is predicated on how good you are in helping us with our case. Well, you know, I believe that would induce a person to lie. But, you know, I just can't believe a guy that makes as much money as Michael does would be hands-on involved with something like dogfighting.
Boy, he was wrong there.
Yikes. I mean, it really gives me chills. It really does. O.J. Simpson also tells the interviewee, O.J. Simpson talks about Barbara Walters inviting him on The View.
Star Jones called me and said, Barbara wants you on the show, mm-hmm. on View. And I said, I don't think that's my audience. Barbara wants you on View. Barbara's in Europe. She called me. No, this is our show. We think it's interesting. We want to see both sides, something that KKFI don't want to have. But we want to see both sides, right? And I said, I don't think I should be doing this. They talked me into it. I fly up to New York. I get off the plane, and there it is on all the papers, New York Post. Barbara scraps O.J. Barbara Walters, you know, this is not the guy in our audience, and I don't want to. They're the ones that talked me into doing it. I mean, literally talked me into doing it. I had no voice. You know,
I had no voice to say
what the whole story was.
Yeah.
You're listening to this tell-all interview that was not aired, and it did leak online, and that's why you're hearing it. So, and it didn't leak today by any means. I mean, it's been out since, what, 2007?
Yeah, 2007
it
was leaked.
It's just archived, you know, so it's just really weird to hear it today. In the tell-all interview, O.J. says he's reconnected with God throughout this whole ordeal.
One thing about the whole ordeal, I think it did bring me a little back closer to my religious roots and my belief in God, because
You know, I used to say, sitting in that cell by myself, I can take maybe 2 steps from the cell to the toilet and 1 step across to the jail, I mean, to the bed, but I can go as high as I wanted to go, you know. And then once I started, you know, getting back in the Bible, once I started realizing those things that my mother told me, that there's no one in this Bible that's worth a darn that didn't go through tremendous turmoil, you know, and they kept the faith. So you have to keep the faith.
Okay, speaking of high, yes, were drugs, OJ?
I know in my personal feeling is that I would take it over alcohol or any other drug.
Marijuana.
You know, if I had to choose one that you had to live with, I would take marijuana over alcohol, over any other drug I've heard about.
OJ Simpson said during the tell-all interview that he wants to use the internet for his next job.
You know, I don't know. It's funny. Obviously, I always get offers the memorabilia stuff that I do. My son, one of the reasons I'm here, this whole medium here, this medium of internet and streaming, mm-hmm. interests me greatly. As my son said, finally you can go out unfeathered. You know, normally you do an interview, they control it, they control the questions. If they don't like your answer, if you're answering a question, they cut you off, you know. So I don't know, when I get back to Miami, I am truly, because Miami is a right-to-work state, I am the head of my household. I'm going to look deeply into this internet stuff.
Right, and you do remember he did move to Miami, and, you know, you would always see the video of him hanging out there on the golf course.
Also really weird that he mentioned memorabilia there, isn't it?
I know, right, and that's what busted him, and that's why he's in the cage where he's at tonight. He explains why he refused the lie detector test.
You know, you bring up the lie detector test. Boy, when you talk to everybody, that's what they say. Ask OJ, will he do a lie detector test?
Yeah. Well, you know, I advise so many people. I remember once they asked me my advice for Blake and them. I said, don't do a lie detector test, because if you pass like the nanny in Boston did, mm-hmm. she passed 2 of them, mm-hmm. and they still prosecuted her, right? I volunteered. I volunteered the first week, even before I was arrested, in writing. We told Martha Clark them, I'll do a lie detector test only if the results will be presented in any future litigation against me. They said no, because they don't want it to help you. If you're inconclusive or sort of fail it, then you're guilty. If you pass it, they say, oh, he learned how to pass it. I've had a couple of offers down the line, and if the money's right, yeah. At this point, because there's no real upside for
right.
me.
So if somebody gave you enough money, you'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we're hearing all we need to hear. Actually, there's more, and that's on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.